demons, but whatever.
Yeah, ignore. We don't. We're not going down the demon rabbit hole with these. That's a conversation for Twitter or whatever. That's not.
Oh,
we ain't doing that. What up, yo?
We have El Paso has its first black mayor.
Congratulations. we couldn't get our first black president, but we got our first black mayor of El Paso.
Yeah, Renard Johnson. I've known him for about 30 something years. Him and his brother Shay. His brother was more my age. He was our age. But yeah, it's so crazy because I've known him for a long time. Beto endorsed him. And he blew out it went to a runoff, even though he blew out Brian Kennedy. Neither one got 50% of the vote, so it had to go to a runoff.
Runoff, yeah.
So that was yesterday, and then Brian Kennedy conceded.
Good job. I mean, and I think Tulsa got their first black mayor in, what, like over 100 years or something like that. Oh, so, Lord. You know, we doing it up, finally. It's about that time.
Oh, yeah, which is crazy because, you know, El Paso is 80% Latino, so that's huge.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a big deal. So I'm super proud, though. You know, proud moment. We'll see what happens.
Well, I got to tell you, local elections are where it's going to be at for a minute here because we got
to ride that, that's where we're going to have to make all our moves. It's going to be locally.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hey, this is D-Knight.
This is Ty.
And Carol is on permanent hiatus as she plans to flee the country once Trump takes power. And you're listening to the Pardon the Insurrection podcast where we're not excited that polio is back. Or at least it's on its way back if, you know, RFK Jr. gets confirmed as Trump's health secretary. Because he wants to ban the polio vaccine. If you're excited about that, congratulations, you voted for the right guy, I would imagine.
You're gonna have. See, that's why people, I don't think they understand. Like, you're not voting for Trump. You will be voting for everybody that would come with him. And he's not going to be the same people that were there the first time that at least somewhat had some credibility and at least some experience, you know, at the offset, he tried to make it look like a cabinet of, you know, formidable people.
Yeah. The level of qualifications, which was already stretched to the limit in the first administration, that's going to be totally obliterated. We're going to have tons and tons of inexperienced, unqualified, if not outright dangerous people taking powerful positions. But I mean, that's what you get with the Trump administration. But yeah, if you're listening to us on some kind of podcast app, make sure you hit the subscribe button, turn your notifications on when you so you can get alerts when there's a new episode. And if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Please help us out. Help your boy out. You know, put your thoughts in the comments below after the podcast, all that good stuff. But yeah, speaking of Trump's incoming administration, Christopher Wray, current FBI director that was appointed by Trump during his first term, announced that he would be resigning at the end of Biden's term, setting the stage for none other than Kash Patel, Trump's, you know, hitman at this point, who has his own personal enemy list to become FBI director. Now, I know a lot of people out there saying, hey, you know, there's some rules about, you know, when the FBI director resigns and what that means for his replacement. And in effect, this will mean that Trump will have to have his FBI director Senate confirmed. That's a small hurdle. And like, Republicans are probably going to line up behind Kash Patel, as unqualified as he is. He doesn't have anything on his resume in terms of like criminal indictments or rape accusations like Pete Hegseth.
I think we did this all wrong. See, the more we don't want Kash Patel, the more they're going to want him and they're going to confirm him. So what we should have done with every pick was be like, cool.
You're trying reverse psychology.
They're not the brightest. And so they only know like one mode. Two modes. Own the libs. And if the libs say yes, we say no and vice versa. So I think we're going to have to remember that next time to be like, ooh, Kash, I couldn't think of a better choice.
That's quite funny.
We're ready. Let's go.
Well, here we have a video of Senator John Cornyn talking about this very.
I had a good meeting with Kash Patel, the president's nominee for FBI director. We still don't know what Director Wray's plans are.
But eventually, I assume that Mr. Patel will be confirmed as the next FBI director.
Are you comfortable that he's going to be able to stand up to Trump?
Well, I think that's a fair question to ask. I mean, part of it's a hard job to tell the president no, but the law is the law, and I would expect from him, as I would from Pam Bondi, that they would be honest and truthful with the president when it comes to those red lines.
Well,
look, that look on her face right there. That's all of us right now.
For sure.
Because he just gave her some bullshit.
Yeah, so much for that hurdle about appointing, you know, an acting FBI director. Cash Patel is going to get confirmed by the Senate in all likelihood. So really, in reality, what Chris Wray did here was concede in advance. He obeyed in advance. He knew he was going to get fired. So he was like, well, let me just go ahead and step out of here, not cause a ruckus, and save Trump the political damage of firing yet another FBI director, which would have been a far bigger hurdle for Trump than simply a Senate confirmation hearing for Cash Patel.
I read something that Ray did. It means that, like, some underperson of him or something is going to be acting, and that he has to go through some additional I can't even remember what it was, but their perspective was that what Christopher Ray did was, like, kind of throw a wrench into Trump's plans that's going to delay Patel from being, like, immediately being able to be confirmed, and there will be someone else in Ray's position because that's the way things are written or how the protocol is or something like that. I don't know much about it.
There's a process when the FBI director resigns before there can be it would have to be an employee that replaces him. It's been working at the FBI for 90 days or so. Cash Patel doesn't have that on his resume. He's not currently employed by the FBI. So the hurdle there is to avoid Trump being able to install him as acting director when they have to go through Senate confirmation. But again, that's going to happen. So really, like, whoever put that spin, and I'm sure, like, you know, that motivation came from, I'm assuming, Ray's people. Because you know, there was an article about that, and where they talked to some of his staff, I would imagine, and I'm sure the staff put that message out. But really, what this is Ray rolling over. No, make Trump fire you. Make it a mess.
Exactly. Do it anyway, but it doesn't mean we have to make it easy for him.
Absolutely. And speaking of rolling over and obeying in advance, ABC settled a lawsuit involving defamation of Trump, where I forgot his fucking name. Well, so one of ABC's hosts said on TV numerous instances that Trump was found guilty of rape, which is again, so legally speaking, in technical terms here, Trump is not a adjudicated rapist. He's an adjudicated sexual assaulter. But the term that the host used basically accused Trump of outright being a rapist. Trump decided to sue ABC in terms of a defamation lawsuit. That lawsuit was settled for $15 million. But one of the things ABC could have pointed to had they deposed Trump and took it to trial is the fact that the judge himself in that case said in common parlance, basically, that Trump is an adjudicated rapist. But yeah, George Stephanopoulos basically quoted the judge in saying that, hey, this is, you know, in the way that normal people would put it, Trump is a rapist. Yeah. Because so in the case, if you don't remember, the delineating factor here was that E. Jean Carroll could not determine whether or not she was penetrated by Trump's fingers or his penis. And that is the reason why.
it was liable for sexual
assault. Yeah,
but I assure you, sexual abuse is not a flex. Like, I was only, you know, convicted of sexual abuse. Instead, you know, rape, or only found guilty of sexual abuse. Like, okay,
how did we get to the point where we're arguing, like, over this?
I don't know that shit is just wild to me. And $15 million, that's That's not going to no library. It's a bribe. They gave it to him. They said out loud that it's for the library, but it just went in his pocket. And they're hoping that he won't sick the FCC on them. But everything was on their side. So
that's the thing, right? So in all likelihood, they would have won this case because, first of all, Trump is a public figure. There are different rules that apply in terms of defamation when it comes to public figures. Also, ABC is a news entity, and Trump would have to prove actual malice, which, apart from what we saw in that Fox News suit, it's extraordinarily difficult to prove, but they were just outright spreading lies.
During the deposition, they felt like things weren't going to go their way after. Like, that's something like, OK.
Yeah. The time to settle after the defamation.
Exactly. And, like, yeah. Fox settled after all that shit came out, right? After all the discovery, Tucker's text messages and emails and all that. I hate Trump and this and blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, OK, yeah,
what this was ABC attempting to pay out money to Trump in order to avoid his wrath now that he's been elected president.
Well, guess what? The thing is with Trump, you never know what it is you're going to do. Look what he's doing with CBS. And I hope CBS doesn't cave. What he's trying to do with the 60 Minutes interview. And and so I'm hoping that they stick to their guns, because ABC just lost all credibility. And I mean, they were never going to have credibility with MAGA because they don't watch anything other than right wing news.
Sure.
But all of their viewers who rely on them. And I like Stephanopoulos as a journalist and as a reporter. So this was, I mean, I know the decision.
I wouldn't say I like him, but in terms of, like, if you're comparing him to Fox News, yeah, he's fair. I mean,
the bar is where the bar is.
Fair enough.
At this point. And so at least he has a note of seriousness about him, and he does and will push back he did against Nancy Mace and held his own and whatnot. So, like, this is just, I don't know. I'm disgusted. I'm disappointed by it. And now it's like, now I can't trust you to be impartial, because if you say one thing that sets him off, which could be anything, because he's a fucking snowflake, then he's going to threaten to go after you again. I mean, it's
even worse than that. It's at the point now after the settlement where you can't trust them to not pre-screen everything that their host and their media outlet presents to the public in order to appease Trump. Right. It's almost as if now you can only assume that they're not going to point or report on anything that Trump might find offensive because they don't want to be faced with another lawsuit.
But that, you know what? But that's going to, it's going to go beyond Trump, because it's going to extend to Musk. It's going to extend to anyone in Trump world. It's going to extend to his son-in-law getting another $2 billion from the Saudis. It's going to extend to any fuckery that any of his appointees get into in Asia. Fucking Tom Barrack is going to be ambassador of Turkey. I mean, this motherfucker was conspiring with the damn UAE. And writing Trump speeches, you know, and it was indicted for being a foreign agent.
Yeah. And so the question you have to ask yourselves from that here on out is ABC even going to be telling us not only the truth, but everything they know? Are they going to kill stories before they come out?
They're
just to avoid Trump's wrath.
They're going
to
be sitting around eating Chick-fil-A.
I wouldn't say that. They'll be in the middle. They'll be where CNN is. They'll be, you know, halfway between dipping their foot into journalism and journalistic integrity, while also trying to prevent, any kind of response from Trump and the Trump administration that could be detrimental to their business. I mean, and again, you know, look, this is... It keeps coming back to do not obey in advance. You got to put as many hurdles in front of this dude as possible, because when you submit to him without him having to force you, what you're doing is training him with what he can get away with doing and emboldening him to do more of it.
Exactly. And then you're setting the stage for everybody else, and you just did a complete disservice to everybody. You know, it was like when I was a kid,
other media outlets
included. Bullied. And my granddaddy would say, I don't care. You know, you pick up whatever you need to pick up. And, you know, maybe they're twice as big as you. You may not win, but that motherfucker ain't going to win either. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I might lose, but you're going to lose something too, okay? It might be a tooth. It might be, we're going to figure that out.
Yeah,
but
you're not wrong.
I'm not going to make it easy for you. I'm not going to make it easy for you.
And then ABC, I mean, I don't know how the company necessarily feels about this, but ABC has an obligation to stand up to Trump in this regard in order to protect the entire media industry. Right. Because if he can do this to ABC, who will he not feel empowered to do this against in the event of another ally reporting something that Trump doesn't like?
He already failed when he tried to sue CNN. He's going to fail trying to sue CBS. He's going to fail. You know, like he really doesn't have a great litigious record to be on in anything. And it's not difficult to blow his shit apart because it's usually contrived and just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, and as far as like public standing goes, they probably would have gained a larger audience taking this to court and beating Trump than just paying the $15 million and hoping Trump goes away.
Exactly.
Nothing you can do in that. I mean, it's nothing we can necessarily do in that regard. But hey, look, you know, so I've had the Secret Service during Trump's administration show up at my house. They didn't shut me the fuck up. Come on, ABC, grow a spine. And continuing along with the theme of obeying in advance, MSNBC hosted Trump yet again for an interview last weekend on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker. She is I wouldn't necessarily call her a Trump apologist, but she is definitely a Trump sane washer. She goes out of her way largely to try and make Trump seem as normal as
possible. And the questions she asked him are so, you know, like a lawyer's like leading the witness. Like, that's all I can think about when I'm listening to her. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, why the fuck are you asking that question? Like, why? Why are you answering that question?
Yeah, of all the things they could talk about, just generally speaking, in the last two interviews, she's done a piss poor job in editorializing and asking probing questions. But she did get Trump on. He spoke about a number of topics. We have a clip for you about Trump speaking on how he won the 2020.
I won on two things, the border and more than immigration. You know, they like to say immigration. I break it down more to the border, but I won on the border and I won on groceries. It's a very simple word, groceries. Like almost, you know, who uses the word? I started using the word, the groceries. When you buy apples, when you buy bacon, when you buy eggs, they would double and triple the price over a short period of time. And I won an election based on that. We're going to bring those prices way down.
I want to pause here because.
Now, for the record, since that interview, Trump has basically said once prices go up, it's hard to get them down and he doesn't have a plan. So congratulations on everyone who voted for Trump. He lied to your faces. He told you he was going to do things that he absolutely could not do. Or even if he thought he could do, he has no plan.
When I listen to him and I listen to that every interview, only thing that goes in my head was that he's just bragging in that, not that he's going to do shit about it, but basically saying, all I had to do was use the word grocery and I won. All I had to do was say border and I won. But I mean, look at his face.
No, he said,
won on border and we won on groceries. So basically he was like, I just kept repeating those two words.
Yes.
And we won.
He's patting himself on the back for saying words to win an election without actually having any kind of plan or policy to do so. Speaking of which,
I just grocery. I was the first one to use that word. Grocery.
The way he speaks is just utterly insane as well.
He's
speaking
like a 3-year-old that couldn't believe that all they had to do was like stomp their feet a little bit. And it was like, and she gave me cake.
There you go.
Look out of here.
and going along with that theme of absolutely having no plan whatsoever to help the American people, Trump was also asked about his health care plan. And well, you know, you can imagine the response here.
And then he voted against. Nobody understands.
Sir, you said during the campaign you had concepts of a plan. Do you have an actual plan at this point for health care?
Yes, we have concepts of a plan that would be better.
Just concepts? Do you have a fully developed plan?
Let me explain. We have the biggest healthcare companies looking at it. We have doctors. We're always looking because Obamacare stinks. It's lousy. There are better answers. If we come up with a better answer, I would present that answer to Democrats and to everybody else, and I do something about it. But until we have that, yeah, or until they can approve it, but we're not going to go through the big deal. I am the one that saved Obamacare, I will say, and I did the right thing.
Actually, John McCain was the deciding vote and said, yeah,
which is why he hated him.
Right. And talked about him even after he was dead, which, you know, according to Meghan McCain,
still hates him because he saved the Affordable Care Act. And then, but he's like, I got the biggest healthcare companies looking at a plan for healthcare. Yeah. Okay, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as he said there, he doesn't have a plan. He's just talking to people, which is,
when,
you know, talking is what
it,
he does.
Well, when we have it, we'll present it.
Well, he's only had
just
8 years now.
Yet.
He's had 8 years. He still only has concepts of a plan.
These things take time, D.
And again, you know, considering the state of the public sentiment towards healthcare companies, specifically health insurance companies, he might want to get on that before someone realizes that he's about to become the CEO of the United States. But also, Trump spoke on Kristen Welker's show about his plans for deportation in this specific regard on birthright citizens.
Let me ask you about some of your other promises on this topic. You've okay. promised to end birthright citizenship yeah. on day one. Is yeah. that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get yeah. around the 14th Amendment with
well,
an executive
we're
action?
We're going to have to get a change. We maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it. You
through
know.
An executive action?
You know, we're the only country that has it.
Actually, that's not true. America is one of, you know, 30 plus states, 30, countries, around
33
the
that have on without any conditions, 72 total.
Yeah.
So there are some that have because I went
conditional
through
birthright citizenship.
Yeah. That's yeah. like, OK, if you've been here for 5 years or if you are here or like if you're an orphan and you don't have like parents.
Right.
You know, like maybe some Ukrainian kids or some for whatever reason or whatever. You're you get citizenship. So I mean, they have different conditions, but they do have a type of birthright citizenship is what they consider it too. But it's like 72 total, but 33 that are pretty much like us. You're born on their soil. You're theirs.
Yeah, right. So, you know, for everyone who was saying Trump was only going to go after illegal, quote unquote, immigrants. First of all, he's going after illegal immigration by trying to end a constitutional right. And also in the interview, he did also specify that, like, he plans on deporting American citizens as well if they're related to, you know, undocumented immigrants.
And he says TPS that he's going to that TPS is wrong, even though he had more TPS immigrants and petitioned the department to raise the number of. If he like, he's just so full of shit. I'm just
yeah, absolutely full of shit. But yes, he's planning on separating families and practically extorting American citizens into leaving the country. If not, planning on outright rounding them up as though they're illegal immigrants. Anyway,
you know.
Yeah, you don't look. And this is what the people voted for. So I guess they're going to get what they're going to get. And for everyone who said that he wasn't absolutely serious about his mass deportation plans, I think we've had 20 plus Republican senators or rather Republican governors step up and say they're willing to use the powers of their states to help assist him. And
why is he starting in Chicago? Because if Texas is so upset, then why doesn't he start in Texas? I mean, Greg Abbott is beside himself with being overrun with, you know, undocumented migrants in his mind, you know?
Well, here's the thing. So if he did do that, in fact, it would probably crash the economies of those states if they did, in fact, begin to try and round up immigrants in, you know, say, Texas, Florida, et cetera. So he definitely doesn't want to do anything to harm those states.
So they'll
economies.
Start with the inner city.
And but also, again, you know, look, going after blue states in this regard is a way to he's basically looking for an opportunity to use the federal, I'm assuming, you know, federal government agencies like the Department of Homeland Security to threaten blue states. I mean, there'd be nothing worse than, like, say, the idea of, you know, red states offering up their National Guard to assist with mass deportation, and then Trump deploying those National Guard troops in blue states in order to terrorize those states. I mean, I'm sure that's something that's probably coming.
That's really all they want to do. Because, you know, all they talk about is Chicago. So that's, you know, I thought he was going to start in Springfield. Thought he was going to start in Aurora.
Of course not. He doesn't care about it. Didn't care about that. That was just shit he was saying to try and win the election. Just like saying groceries, right? Like, he has no real plans. He does not care about Haitian immigrants in Springfield. That's not his concern. His concern is about terrorizing the public and going after blue states because a majority of people there do not vote for him. That's his major concern. And again, look, just the prospects of actually rounding up as many people as they would like, you know, 10, 15, 20 million people, it's nigh impossible. And then just like the odds of him even being able to deport a million people a year, it's unfathomable, again, because countries have to accept these people, and we don't have agreements with a lot of countries.
But not only that, but you have to detain those people. So they're like, oh, it's going to cost this amount of money to deport them. Yes, but how much is it going to cost to detain them before you're able to deport them? How many planes? Where are you going to get these planes? You know what I mean? Like, how many planes? It's a plane, even a big jumbo jet has, what, 300 to 500 people? Max. You're talking about a million people a year. And then
it's impossible.
They're already, you know, building these little secret prisons. And then the whole reason that they're in Chicago is because Greg Abbott bust them there. And then Chicago, he's building a secret prison in Texas. So Greg Abbott spent $221 million of Texas taxpayer money to ship these people to places like Chicago and New York and dump them there. Then Trump is going to round them up and send them back to Texas.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and a lot of people, even though this endeavor is certain to fail, at least in terms of the expectations that he's laid out for his supporters, like, it will be hugely damaging for sure. But a lot of people are also going to make a significant amount of money from government contracts engaging in this. And again, like, we hate to go back to the Nazis in Germany, but I mean, this is what they found out. They tried to round up a bunch of Jewish people and deport them to other countries. They found it was nearly fucking impossible, even with the amount, you know, the train system that they have in Germany and in Europe. And the solution that they, no pun intended, the solution that they came to was concentration camps. And once, you know, they had X amount of prisoners detained in these camps, the solution to that was because it's expensive to maintain this.
Well, and then also you had to make room because it was a constant flow of people that you were putting on those trains to Auschwitz and Birkenau. So,
what happened to them, Ty? Where did they go? What happened to them? The furnaces. Yep. So, I mean, again, like, for everyone who's
they're already gassing people in Alabama. So I guess
under a different context entirely. But yes, point taken. So
and never mind. Remember, Bahamas sent him a letter and told him to fuck off. He said, yo, drop some folks off here. Now, never mind you, I'm going to drop folks off that I just spent the last year saying were rapists and murderers. Would you take them? Like, he didn't even like, these are hardworking people, but they're illegal. Will you take them? He's like, these are rapists and murderers. We don't want them.
My guy's
insane.
Y'all
the same complexions as Haitians. Ain't y'all the same? You know? And then, what get me is that he called Trinidad and Tobago. They also told him to fuck off.
Wait, I missed that.
It was three countries. It was Panama. They got 30 whole people in Panama. They probably got 100 people in Panama, the Bahamas, and Trinidad and Tobago combined. They're so goddamn tiny. But they all told him to kick rocks. And now he says any country that won't accept his deportation planes, he's going to sanction them. and U.S. won't do business with them.
Well, he's probably
he's sending
not
everybody
lying about
to
that.
BRICS.
Yeah,
I mean, sending everybody to BRICS.
Yeah, hey, look, and just the idea of him thinking like, you know, the British did once upon a time, I'm just going to drive everybody off on an island out here in the ocean. Like, this is insane.
Well, then he needs to look for an island, maybe one of them islands that the fucking volcanoes made. Or something, and just turn into a new Australia.
Or the island he's likely most familiar with, Epstein's Island.